I want to talk about publishing from your PhD. If you did a PhD in the UK about 15, 20 years ago, it would have been unheard of to have been publishing while you were doing your PhD. In fact, your supervisor probably told you definitely not to do that because it would take away from your focus on your actual research. But things have changed quite a lot now. If you're doing your PhD in a Scandinavian country, for instance, you would be publishing as you write the PhD. In fact, your PhD might very well be constructed of four published or near-published articles and a wrap which theorises the whole, establishes the argument, nestles the four articles into the overall piece of research, and so the four articles are your PhD, the four articles and the wrap. Now, these are the two different ends of the continuum of publishing. You might also decide that you want to publish when you finish your PhD. So we've got publishing during your PhD as a norm or a no-no. We've got publishing after you've done your PhD. And the third option is to be writing a PhD by publication. That third option is something that's usually chosen by people who've got a long publishing history, who are in their mid-career, and they look back over their work and say, I can pull all this together in a couple of themes or a single theme, write a wrap, and I've got a PhD. So first of all, think which one of those suits you. But I would argue that if you don't publish from the PhD, from this largest, richest, deepest piece of work that you've ever done so far, that you're missing out. And what's more, other people are missing out, because it's possible that your PhD, if you don't publish it, will just sit on a shelf somewhere at home gathering dust, and the only person who's read it, apart from you, is your supervisor, the examiner, and maybe your mum. Now, we have a duty, I think, to get that important research, those new arguments, that new understanding that you've developed out there so that other people can read it, so that other people can learn from it and move on. So maybe if you think about it as a duty, as well as a tremendous loss if you don't publish, that might well spur you on to make sure that you do publish during the PhD, maybe one or two pieces, or as the whole PhD, and very definitely after the PhD. Having said all those positive things, it's also the case that it's very rare for you to be able to pitch up at a publisher, hand over the PhD, for them to embrace you and for it to be published exactly as it stands. Most PhDs need turning into monographs, which are a slightly different shape to a PhD. In other words, they're not, they probably have much less of the complex, rather lengthy literature review and methodology sections that the standard social science PhD would have, for instance. If you're writing a science PhD, those sections might not be as long as they would be for a social science PhD, so perhaps your PhD can be published as it stands. If you're writing a humanities PhD, your literature review is usually part of your introduction. It's quite unusual for us as humanities researchers to write lengthily about how we conducted our research, unless, for instance, it's archival research or documentary research. Quite often, we are using critical theory and looking at products, literary products or art products or something like that, and we don't really talk very much about our methodology. We don't defend it to the same extent as a social science PhD would. So it's possible that if you've got a science one or a humanities one, that it might be publishable pretty much as it stands once you've tidied it up, made it camera ready maybe, and ensured that you've directed it at an audience that's bigger than your supervisor, examiner and your mum. Because when you go into publishing, you're actually thinking about a readership, an audience. You're thinking about marketing your work, and you're thinking about reaching out to people who you know will benefit from it, and people you have no idea anything about. You don't know how they're going to benefit from it. You don't know which bits of it they're going to find useful to them. And so you're reaching out to a much wider audience, a much wider readership. And I think that affects how you write it as a monograph, as well as how you write it as a series of articles. So we're now thinking about general publishing issues, who you're writing for, what you're writing, why you're writing what you're writing now. Is it topical? Do they want to read it now? Does it contribute to an ongoing dialogue? And where you're going to publish. When you decide to publish from your PhD, let's take this one as an example. You've done it, or you're halfway through it, and what you're going to do is you're going to take a piece of it and you're going to publish from that. Now, I've just suggested that the monograph might be turned into a book. Indeed, there is a publisher called Peter Lang from the Netherlands who might well contact you and ask you to turn it into a book. That's great. Tidy it up, get it out, your first book. Most publishers don't take your PhD as a straightforward monograph. As I said, you would have to turn it into a more readable shape, a shape for the market. But you're probably actually going to be publishing articles from your PhD rather than publishing it as a monograph. In which case, you can't just cut it up into bits. You can't send the literature review off to one journal and the methodology section off to another journal and the data and discussion sections off to another journal. This is the point at which you look at the whole and you ask yourself, what are the overall arguments here? What are the overall important findings? What are the factual findings? What are the conceptual findings? How have I added to and enriched and deepened knowledge? How have I, through my work, enabled us to see things more differently, to understand differently? The first are your factual conclusions, the facts you've found, the information, the knowledge you've developed. And the second is your conceptual conclusions, why it matters, what you've contributed to meaning. You need to know this in a kind of overarching sense before you can decide which bits of your PhD to take to develop into publications. Because once you've understood the contribution that your work's made, you can then stand back and say which parts of it can stand alone. I will emphasize my contribution and I'll take a part of this PhD to argue its own case in a journal article at journal article length. Your PhD might well be 80,000 words. Your journal article will probably be no more than 6,000 or 7,000 words. And it is a product that stands on its own. It's a construction, a publishable construction, which actually is probably like a mini PhD, but as I've said earlier, not as heavy in the literature review and methodology sections, and probably a bit more readable, and equally as specialised quite often, but sometimes for a wider readership. So now you've got all these things to think about. Which bits of my PhD can stand alone while still conveying that important message about what I've found, why it matters? So you need to go into the PhD and decide which bits will be publishable. It's possible that you've come up with four major findings. It's possible you've come up with three, four, five major themes. I would argue that those are the bits that you're going to turn into articles. Look at the PhD as a whole. If, for instance, you've been writing about an issue in literature, maybe something to do with gender and power in literature, and you've looked at four novelists, well, you could do a chapter on each one of those four. You could turn each of those chapters into an article. The beginning of the article has the argument and explains your reach and your theoretical perspectives and your conceptual framework, so the ideas and the theories you're using behind your work, and then it explores your whole argument through the work of that single author and then comes to its conclusions. Or you've come up with four themes. You start the article with the argument, the context, the gap in knowledge, the reason for doing the work, but this is not as long as it would be in the PhD, it's just a short introductory paragraph which situates your work and establishes its importance, its contribution. And then you explore maybe three or four or one or two of your authors through that theme. So can you see I'm cutting it up either as single authors with some argument and some themes, or as the themes and the arguments with the authors and their work as examples. That's a literary example. You might well be doing a social science PhD, where you have been looking, for instance, at doctoral students' learning, which is an area that I work in. And you've found something to do with their sense of identity, something to do with power in relation to the supervisor, something to do with communities enabling them to carry on with their research, and something to do with the excitement of making a breakthrough. Now, those are four major findings. You tell us them at the beginning of the PhD, you tell us about them as contributions to knowledge and to conceptual understanding at the end of the PhD, and you take each of these four major findings. You start the article by explaining the context and the major contribution, the major argument, and then you explore elements of your data to enable you to back up your argument as evidence. So you're making an argument, a claim, and evidence. And this comes from exploring a section of your PhD. So what I'm suggesting then is that we cut the PhD up into publishable sections. It's possible that your literature review can be published as it stands, especially if you're working with a journal that takes literature syntheses and publishes them as articles. It's possible if you've made a new contribution to methodology, or you've used a method in a new way, that you can construct an article out of that, because that too is a new contribution to knowledge. But the usual form will be to take themes, individual arguments, or a kind of focus maybe on an author or a section or a place or people or a product, and to make articles out of those.